Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first quarter 2008 TGS conference call. My name is Hank Hamilton. I'm the CEO of the company, and joining me today we have Arne Helland, our Chief Financial Officer, Robert Hobbs, our Chief Operating Officer, and John Adamick, our Vice President of Business Development. Earlier today, TGS issued its first quarter results and posted a recorded presentation which detailed the financial and operational highlights from the quarter, as well as outlined our expectations for the remainder of 2008. We trust that you've had the opportunity to review that presentation, and we'll start off the call today with just a brief recap of some of the key points before going to questions. During the first quarter, our gross sales were 25% above the first quarter of last year, but due to an unusual sales mix that contained a higher contribution of sales from projects that we share revenues on, our net revenues of $105.2 million were only 10% higher than a year ago. Our gross late sales were 7% lower than a year ago, but also due to that higher revenue sharing mix, our net late sales were 23% lower than a year ago. We experienced lower late sales, particularly in the Gulf of Mexico, where our customers appear to have spent most of their March lease sale preparation seismic expenditures in the fourth quarter of 2007. This was partially offset by growth in the late sales in our Eastern Hemisphere market. Our proprietary contract revenues comprised 19% of our revenues this quarter, which is unusually high, compared to only 5% a year ago. And our pre-funding revenues represented 28% of our total net revenues, and that compares to about 19% a year ago. We had quite a different mix of revenues this quarter. Our investments in our multi-client library were up 85% to $61.3 million, and our pre-funding covered 48% of those investments. Both of those figures are in line with our plan for this year. Our multi-client amortization rate was 32% compared to 28% a year ago. Our operating profit margin in the first quarter was 44%, and that compares to a higher margin of 54% a year ago. That is due to the higher contribution we had this quarter from the proprietary contract sales and also from pre-funding revenues, which typically carry lower gross margins than the blended late sales of multi-client products. During the quarter, we also recorded an unrealized financial loss of $4.5 million on the shares that we hold in Wayfield Insights. Without that loss, our earnings were 32 cents a share. That's unchanged from a year ago. When including that loss, our earnings per share were 28 cents, which is down 13% from a year ago. All in all, in summary, our first quarter results were in line with our own expectations and consistent with our plans for the full year. Also of note, in early April, we closed two significant multi-client sales contracts that included both immediately deliverable products as well as new commitments to creation of new multi-client products in the future. One of those contracts was the single largest well log contract in our company's history. Looking forward, the market demand for our products and services continues to be extremely strong, and our expectations for our full year 2008 performance remain unchanged. A quick review of those, that means multi-client investments of between $250 and $275 million, pre-funding covering 50 to 60% of those investments, a multi-client amortization rate of 32 to 37%, total net revenues in the range of $550 to $580 million, and proprietary contract revenues, which would compose 10 to 15% of those total net revenues. So at this point, we'd like to open up the call to your questions. If you could press the star key followed by a 1 to pose your question.
First, Mr. Alejandro De Michelis of Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions. The first one is, you made very clear that the results of the first quarter were in line with your expectations, but my feeling is that wasn't in line with the expectations of the market. Is that something that you're monitoring in terms of, you know, your expectations and the expectations of the market being aligned? And if not, you know, why are they so dissimilar?
Well, we don't give quarterly guidance for a reason, and that's because we know that quarters can be volatile, they can fluctuate from time to time, and we relate really to our annual plan. Now, we do break that up into pieces that we expect throughout the year, but we don't communicate that to the market. So, you know, our main goal is to stick to what we have said, and that's our annual plan, and we feel like we're right in line with that. We are aware of analyst expectations, and we also note that those can change from time to time. But you know, our main goal is trying to achieve the plan that we've laid out for the year.
And on an annual basis, you're still comfortable that, you know, the expectations that the market has and the ones that you have communicated are still aligned?
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Next, Tesco, One Investment. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. I had a couple of questions, Steve. Firstly, just a couple of financial ones. If you could help out on understanding the degree to which revenue sharing will change inside your guidance, either net figure, but just to understand what you think the growth or revenue share will be on that. And the other one, financial question, was on proprietary spend and as part of your cost of goods sold. Any view on the degree to which the first quarter is consistent with what you'd expect for the year? Then a couple of market questions, please. The first was just your pre-funding was a bit lower than, say, the range in the first quarter. If you could just talk about why and what sort of view you think this is in terms of changing demand for, say, traditional 3D, or whether this reflects other factors. And the other question on the business was if you could just give a sense, please, as to how important national oil companies are to your customer base now versus a couple of years ago. Thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Could you remind me if you hear the first question?
It was on revenue sharing, just to how important you think income sharing will be going forward. Because you could give a net number for your view on revenue, but just trying to get a sense of within that how much income sharing will be on top of that.
Right. We view this quarter as a little bit anomalous to what we expect going forward. As you know, we have a large White Azimuth project ongoing with Western GECO, which is a 50-50 venture. So we will see revenue sharing on that project in particular going forward. But that only made up a small portion of the total revenue sharing that we saw in Q1. A lot of the Q1 revenue sharing was related to sales in the Eastern Hemisphere, in Europe in particular. And we view this as a little bit and not something which will be ongoing. Don't have a total figure for you for expectation for revenue for the year. But as you mentioned, our net revenue estimates remain the same.
Okay, but the Western GECO will be an important part of income sharing later on in the year, of course. Yeah.
So it will be an ongoing I would say that the revenue sharing from that particular contract or that particular project only composed, let's say, 20-25% of the total revenue sharing that we saw in Q1, if that helps.
Yeah, okay. And the proprietary spend? Is Q1 typical what you'd expect to see in terms of proprietary spending through the year?
What we have said is that our total year, we expect 10-15% of our revenues to come from the proprietary market. Now, I would expect the margins on that to be similar to what we experienced in the first quarter, although the amount of contract revenues as a percentage of our total, we expect to be a little bit lower for the rest of the year than it was in Q1.
Yeah, okay.
You also asked about pre-funding in Q1, 8%, and our annual guidance is 50-60. That's really just a project mix issue in a particular quarter. We're getting ready to crank up quite a few highly pre-funded projects here in the second quarter, so we expect to see that coming up to within our range of pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then next oil company question?
National oil companies. Yes. You know, we do not do a lot of work for national oil companies home countries. because we're primarily a multi-client provider. So most of our contact with the national oil companies comes from instances in which they are exploring outside their home countries. And we are seeing a growing amount of that. It's not a dominant part of our revenue stream yet.
Yeah. But it's a low double digit?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Next, Jon Olaisen, Carnegie. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions. First, a following up question on the income sharing revenues. Since 25% of the revenues were income sharing, could I thereby deduct that the total revenues generated in Q1 from the White Asmoso with Western GECO was about $10 million?
No, I think what we said, we don't want to start giving out exact revenue figures project by project. We're not going to do that. What we did say is that of the, of the total amount of revenue sharing that we did in Q1, a minor portion of that was related to the White Asthma.
Yeah, but in principle, all the 100% of the revenues from that White Asthma surveys going through your sales as gross sales, 100% basis that goes through gross sales.
Correct.
Yeah, and then another question related to the White Asthma survey. A couple of your competitors, Western GECO and TGS, have both experienced relatively low late sales on those White Asthma surveys, which they finished last year. Have you changed any of your expectations in the late sales, potential late sales pattern of White Asthma in general?
No, we haven't. We did secure one significant new sales commitment late in the third quarter. Late in the first quarter, which we consider a late sale since we'd already started the project.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say that, the numbers on these late sales are big. The sales cycle is complicated and lengthy because quite often we are talking to various departments in an oil company to get them to pool their budget money to make these expenditures. It could be asset teams from producing fields as well as exploitation groups as well as pure exploration. So it is a more complex cycle. It does take longer. But I think overall we're still very optimistic about the late sale potential of our White Asthma project.
Hmm. And on the margin, it hasn't changed from what we've seen over the last...
That's correct.
Right. Would you specify the pre-funding you had on that White Asthma survey before you started?
I think we talked about two major late sales commitments that we had. We put a specific number on one of them, which was close to $40 million on one of them. The other one was smaller than that, I will say.
Right. And then a question to the two sales you had in early April. You said it was a record high well log sale, and I presume that was the late sale part of those two. What kind of magnitude are we talking about? What is the kind of range in dollar terms for that?
Right. The two sales, if I combine them, the immediately recognizable impact of those two. In terms of data that could be delivered immediately, was somewhere between $7 and $8 million, but that only represents about one third of the total commitment
of those two sales.
Those two sales combined. Mm. So that'll give you a range. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Next, Morten Nystrøm, Kaupthing Bank. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. All of my questions have already been answered, but I have a couple of questions. First, in terms of your freedom of asthma survey in the Gulf of Mexico, could you make any comments regarding if you are in the progress of planning a phase two, if you are doing this with Western GECO, if you are doing this on your own, and if you could comment anything regarding that.
Right. I would say that we don't have any firm commitment that we're ready to release yet. We certainly are planning additional White Asthma projects. Whether we go forward with Western GECO as a partner or another as a partner or on our own has not been decided yet. We are continuing to talk to potential partners as we develop those projects. So I don't have any firm information I can give you yet other than to say that we are planning additional projects.
Okay, and another question, Hank. Just looking at, let's say, for the future now, we're starting to see that a lot of, not new, but a lot of demand forces out there are talking about 4D seismic, seismic in new frontiers, etc., etc. In terms of if the arbitration process has, I would say, believes that it's not room for a merge with Wave Linzas, potentially, what is your strategy? Would you then secure other types of vessels, or are you happy with the current fleet and will continue to, let's say, acquire seismic with the existing field you have now, existing seismic fleet you have now?
Right.
I know it's a difficult question, but if you could talk a little bit around that.
The first point I would make is that, you know, it's our strategy to try and complete this arbitration successfully and complete the merger. That's really what we're focused on. Mm-hmm. We do have to, you know, as all businesses do, you have to think about contingency plans and what if and so forth. So, you know, we are in the market looking at the potential for chartering other vessels, you know, for 2009 and beyond. In case. And so I think you could envision several strategies, but all involving, you know, securing vessels through a different source.
Okay, guys. Thanks. And continue with the job you're doing.
Thank you, Martin.
Next, Anbjørg Kloten from Finance, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon. When will you have the first processed part of the White Azimuth survey ready for late sales?
This is Robert. We are already processing products from the acquisition as we go, and pre-funders are throughout the course of the project. Pre-funders, Eve. Products as we process those products. Acquisition on the White Azimuth project won't be complete until I believe second quarter of 2009, and final processing, you know, in terms of the final product being delivered on that, on the total project, will be about a year after that. So but clients will be working with the data prior to that, because we'll be releasing what we call fast-track products during processing and before final processing is complete.
Thank you.
Next, Rickard Johnson, ABG Sundal Securities. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, guys. I have a question. You said that the quarter in itself was in line with your own expectations, yet the results that you produced are approximately 25% below the market consensus expectations. Did you at any point consider a profit warning ahead of the results? And if you didn't, what was the rationale behind it? Are you going to stick to your kind of your own internal forecast and use that as the guideline for when you notify the market or not? Or are you going to focus on the stock market expectations? Because I think a clarification of that would be very welcome, so that we know what we have to deal with. Thank you.
Right. You know, at the end of every quarter, we assemble the revenues as quickly as we can, and we try and make a determination if we're in line with the plan. And yes, the I think our primary objective there is to see, are we in line with the plan that we have communicated. That is our basic philosophy, Richard.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, Peter Testa, One Investment. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sorry. It's just a question on the April large sale. It's always hard to determine these things, but is there any particular reason why they were in April rather than March? Or I mean, why you pointed them out? Was it sales ordinarily in quarter end disrupted by Easter, or were there any other factors which drove the timing of those sales coming now, such as products being released and so on. And the other related question to that was, just to make sure I understand it correctly, you had the 7-8 million for immediate recognition, always gets recognized in Q2. The remaining part, over what time frame does that get recognized?
Very perceptive question. I would say that, as the first quarter was drawing to a close, we were optimistic that we were going to get both of those completed during the last week of March. In fact, the customers had told us that was also their plan. But due to kind of internal bureaucracies within our customers' offices, they couldn't get the signatures done that last week. So that's why we mentioned those in particular now.
Okay.
In terms of how long it will take to recognize the full amount, at least on the Wellog contract, that one will last over nearly a 3-year period. The seismic contract will be probably finished up this year.
Right, okay. So you would regard it as normal quarterly business just moved around rather than a pulling of projects. And it wasn't due to, say, timing of product being ready. It was just due to having guys in the office to sign.
Having, yeah, getting timing of the signature and delivery.
Okay. And is the Wellog contract, you said it's the biggest one you've had. Is there any background you can give in terms of, you know, that sort of business, why it happened, whether you're looking at other prospects for that sort of business?
That's a very similar transaction back in the third quarter of last year.
Yeah.
And this is part of a fairly massive campaign we have going on now to solicit underwriting for taking our digital image files, which are just pictures of the well logs that can be used in certain computer applications, and converting those to fully digitized curves that can be used in petrophysical calculations and so forth. And we're seeing more and more oil companies wanting those fully digital curves. They are extremely applicable in some of the resource plays that we see going on in onshore North America. So a lot of the large independent majors that are involved in those resource plays, there's high demand for those digital products in that market. So we have a major campaign underway to convert our several million log library into fully digitized curves.
Right. And in terms of that project, in terms of product coming out for say marketing, is that something which is going on as it comes, and now we're seeing the fruits of that, or is it something we can say a major project, something which is a multi-year project?
Well, we expect that to build slowly over the next 2 to 3 years as we get, we're ramping up our production and we're getting more customers on board, so it's something that will be, I think we'll see a steady growth on.
Fine. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Next, it's Rick Wally, ABN AMRO. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, could you comment on the latest demand that you saw in two different regions, namely the Gulf of Mexico and the North Sea?
Yeah. I think we specifically mentioned that the late sale demand in Q1 in Gulf of Mexico was weak. We interpret that to mean that most of our customers did their purchasing for the March, the record March lease sale during Q4 of last year, when I think we and all of our competitors saw a record. And then that tailed off in Q1 as the companies were taking the time to evaluate that data and prepare for that March round. Sometimes in past years that demand has kind of slipped over into especially January, but we didn't see a lot of that this year. Relative to the North Sea, I think we saw in particular strong demand in the Norwegian sector, and we think that's primarily a buildup in preparation for both the APA round this year and the 20th round late this year.
So do you think that the good North Sea demand will continue in the second quarter?
Okay. Do we have any further questions waiting on the line?
Yes, you have one from Tor Arne Lunde at DNB. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi guys. I have a question regarding steaming. To what extent will that kind of influence your quarterly earnings, just to get a better view of how to predict your quarterly results.
Right. We are in the process in early Q2 of moving a lot of vessels around. We're preparing, as we put in our presentation this morning, for a very active campaign in Greenland and in the North Sea. So we do have a number of vessels in transit. So I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, we're seeing we're not earning revenues, of course.
Okay, thanks.
Then Mr. Hamilton, no further question on the Q&A list.
Very good. We thank you for joining us on the call today and look forward to speaking with you again next time. Thanks very much.